after Donnie announced that this will be our last week in the gym. Next week we're going to be meeting down in the church building down below. Hallelujah, in the sanctuary. I'm grateful for this, the opportunity that we've had to be in this gym. Amen. And God has been with us the whole time. Amen. I said amen. Amen. We've seen Him do some good things. We've heard Him say some great things. But we're looking forward to the next adventure. Amen. And I just got to tell you, I see the sanctuary down there and my heart filled with the glory of God. I said, I feel in my heart like God's glory is going to rest in that place. Amen. He's so good. He's been so faithful to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, turn them again to Matthew chapter 5. And we've been talking the last couple of weeks about the Beatitudes, that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we said before, and we'll say again, that we call them the Beatitudes. I call them the Beatitudes. In other words, this is how we're supposed to think. This is how we're supposed to act. This is how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. Amen. And we're not, watch this, I just got you to get this into you. You are no longer only human. I'm only human. You got to get that out of your thinking. Because when you became born again, His Spirit came to dwell on the inside of you. So we don't have just our ability, our strength, to be able to stand for God. We have His strength in us. Are you with me? You got to get out of your head that I'm only human. There's more power in you, right, than a nuclear reactor. Because the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. So when we're talking about these Beatitudes, it's not, I'm going to struggle and I'm going to strain and I'm going to do this on my own power. Forget it. You'll fall. You'll fail. You'll get frustrated. But here's the reality. Everything I do, if I'll look to Him and know that He's with me, He'll empower me to do them. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Have you ever tried to love the unlovely? Oh, man. Sometimes that's tough, right? There's some people that I love that I don't like a lot. Well, am I the only one? But I don't love people on my own ability. The Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. I have the love of God on the inside of me. And so when I go to quote 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I put my name in there. I'm patient. I'm kind. I do not envy or boil over with jealousy. I'm not rude or unmannerly and on and on. I put my name in there because I believe that the love of God is on the inside of me. I believe the power of God is on the inside of me. We've just got to see it more and more. But we've been talking about the Beatitudes, and we talked about the poor in spirit. That's the humble folks. Those who mourn, they'll be comforted. The meek, and again, the meek is not the weak. The meek are those that are teachable. Those who are don't let pride get in their way. Those that are correctable. Those that, that's who I want to be. You know, Proverbs is interesting because it says that a fool will not listen to a rebuke. Now, you all look at me and smile because I don't want any of you to locate yourself. But it says a fool will not listen to a rebuke, but a wise man will listen to a rebuke and grow by it. Hallelujah. What does that mean? Even if your boss corrects you in the wrong attitude, if his correction is right and you can grow by that correction, you ought to. Come on, that's good. That's good. I've had a lot of people say things to me that weren't very nice. But they might not have been nice, but they were right. This isn't going over well. It's all right. It wasn't very nice, but it was right. And if I'm wise, I'll forget about my little feelings. You know, we got to toughen up. We got to be able to take it, right? Because God's trying to get some messages to us. And all we want... Look, He wants to get messages to us. But we're so soft, we're going, oh, it's not the Lord if unless it's sugary and I feel the goosebumps and... I'm going to give you my version of a verse. God kicks in the butt those that He loves. That's found in Romans chapter 2. It says, He chastises, He disciplines those He loves. Right? Why? Because it's like a little kid. You know, you got a little 2-year-old and they want to go touch the wood stove. Man, if you're a good parent and they don't listen or heed to you, you might have to torch their hand a little bit to keep it away from the more pain. And God isn't into beating us, but He's into us being protected and loved and cared for. Amen? Anyway, all right, I'll keep going. Go down to verse 9 because that's where we're going to start today. We started this last week, but I want to kind of go over it and go into it in more detail because we ran out of time. It says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Thinking about this, this does not mean that you're the one who always, always, always smooths over controversy. You're not the one that says, let's all play fair and get along. Because sometimes your word will bring controversy. Sometimes your word, but that doesn't mean you're not the peacemaker. The peacemaker that I believe He's talking, it has many applications, but I think the main one is Jesus was preparing His disciples to be apostles and to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And Jesus wants us to understand that the sons of God are the ones who are supposed to be preaching the good news. The good news. What's the good news? Here's the good news. God paid the price that was paid, the penalty that sin was due to you. And because that price is paid, you've been acquitted. Which means that your the gulf that was stretched between you and God has been eradicated, and you are now at peace with God. The peace treaty has been signed in the blood of Jesus. Come on. Go with me. Where am I going first? Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We are the ones to spread the good news. Everybody say good news. The gospel means good news. If I'm preaching the gospel, I'm preaching good news. Hallelujah. And if I'm preaching good news, then I'm a peacekeeper. thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 10 and verse 15 says this. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. That a girl. Go on, just keep preaching. I love that. But watch this. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Who's supposed to preach the gospel? All of us. And preach doesn't mean that you get up on the soapbox at, you know, downtown. I mean, if God calls you to do that, that's great. But it means that I proclaim the good news wherever I go. God's not mad at you. But there's requirements that need to come for you to enter into that peace. And that's what I'm here to proclaim. If I'm a peacekeeper, I'm a proclaimer of the gospel. Let me say that again. If I'm a peacekeeper, blessed are the peacekeeper, then I'm a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I like what one guy said, you know, preach the gospel at all times. And if necessary, use words. In other words, our lives should be different than everybody else's lives. We ought to have smiles on our face because of what God has done inside of us. We ought to be free from the demons that have chased us all of our lives, right? Listen, I know you were bound before I saw you. You were just like me. How did you get free? Jesus. 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 And here's the good news. You can too. You can be free because He's paid the price. Hallelujah. Go back to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Hallelujah. Blessed are the peacemakers. One of the greatest thrills in my life, besides, you know, meeting the Lord, marrying my wife, besides that, is the opportunities that I've had to lead somebody in a prayer and introduce them to Jesus. Nothing tops that. Nothing tops it. I mean, I've seen people. Now listen, I have seen people healed in the name of Jesus. Believe it or not, I've seen demons come out of people. I've watched it happen. I've actually seen food multiplied like Jesus did with the fish and the loaves. I've seen those miracles. I've watched them. But that's not the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle, and the one that all of heaven stands up and gets excited about, is when one sinner is turned to Jesus. I'm praying for more babies in our church. Both the natural and the spiritual, right? I love me babies. I love babies. Hallelujah. But you know, with babies come messes. We have to be ready for messes. What does that mean? They're going to cry. They're going to make messes. They're going to do. But we're just going to clean up after them and help them grow up and so we can reproduce. Amen? Because we're peacemakers. Look at, again, Isaiah 53. And we'll start in verse 5. But He was wounded for our transgression. Who's this talking about? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. The chastisement of our peace. In other words, the very punishment that was due to us because we had violated God's standards was put upon Him. What does that mean? God's no longer angry at me. There's no longer a divide between me and God. I'm welcomed into His throne room because of what Jesus did. Not because of me, but because of Him. The good news is that Jesus took the punishment that every one of us deserved. There's a word that's used in the New Testament. He was the propitiation for our sins. What does that mean? That means He was the price that was required for us to have our sins taken away from us. Where scriptures like, as far as the east is from the west, the Lord said, I'll remember your sins no more. And I'm glad He said east to west and not north to south. Because if you're headed west and you stay headed west, you'll always go west. But if you head north, there's a point where you're going to head the South Pole. And do you hear what I'm saying? He said, I'll remember them no more. He even said, your sins I'll throw into the sea of forgetfulness. Now, watch this. I believe what He's saying there is, I won't apply the penalty that your sins require for justice because of the blood of Jesus. We are the proclaimers of the good news that God is no longer mad at the world. However, there are conditions for you to become a participant of His gospel. What is it? Believe in your heart and confess in your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead, and you'll be saved. Hallelujah. I'm a proclaimer of the good news. Look at verse 10. He says, yet it pleased to bruise Him and to put Him to grief. And when you make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed and He shall prolong His days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. That's you. That's me. Did you know that you are the pleasure of the Lord? You're the pleasure of the Lord. He loved you so much, and He wanted you in His home so badly that He sent Jesus to die for you. How great is our God? How great is our God? How great is His love toward me? How great? And it's the same for us right now. And that's our message. That's what we're supposed to proclaim. Go back to Romans chapter. Are y'all getting something this morning? Listen, I'm telling you, God has got good news for you to proclaim. I don't think it's necessarily wrong to point out to people when they're doing wrong. In fact, that's sometimes the most loving thing that you can say to them. It's like somebody that keeps beating their head against the wall. At some point you should say, hey, why don't you stop beating your head against the wall? It's putting bruises on your head. Stop it. That's not condemning them. That's not judging them. That's just saying, hey, what you're doing is stupid. Hello? It's stupid. But God has a better way, and He can help you to quit being stupid. Romans chapter 5. Look at this. This is so good. Verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, who's been justified by faith? Well, there's about five of us in here. We'll have an altar call in a minute. But who in this room has been justified? That means that you're just before God because of faith. Who in here does that belong to? It belongs to me. I've been justified by faith. I love this definition of justification. It's just as if I had never done it. My faith in Jesus and what He did has created an atmosphere with God like I've never done it. I'd never sinned. Oh, that's so good. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be honest with you, I don't fully understand it. And I'm the more I'm saved, the more I come into His presence, it's like, Lord, really, Lord, I'm welcome here? Really, really, Lord, I can stand before Your throne? Renita and I just the night before, we watched A Night with the King. Does anybody ever remember that movie years ago, TBN? A Night with the King. It's about Esther. Her going before the king when she wasn't called in, it was like if he didn't put that scepter out, she would have been toast. They had the swords ready to thrust her through because, you had to be the right person to go before the king and his royalty. Now God says that Jesus paid the price so that we have peace with our king. So I can come before him and I'm welcomed in his throne room. Father, in Jesus' name. And I'm right there. I'm right there right now. Ephesians says, I'm already seated with Him in heavenly places because of what He's done. Go to chapter 14 of Romans. In verse 17, it says this, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What's he really saying here? He's saying that the kingdom of God isn't about your festivals. It's not about your events. Here's what the kingdom of God is about. It's about righteousness. Whose righteousness? He who knew no sin became sin that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. Watch this. And peace. What does that mean? Again, we've been talking about it. The peace means that the middle wall of separation has been torn down. When Jesus was crucified, the Bible says, and think about this, that the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the outer court was split in two, but it wasn't from the bottom up, it was from the top down. What does that mean? Angels had to go in there because it was like 27 feet high. And they had to go in there and rip that thing apart. What was it signifying? That you no longer need the sacrifice blood of bulls and goats because Jesus was enough. I'm talking about the gospel of peace. It's been done. It is finished. Jesus cried. One more time. Listen to this. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, I'm just not happy. Well, let the joy of God stir up on the inside of you. Because joy is much better than happiness. Happiness has to do with feelings. Joy has to do with facts. I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart. Come on, I've got it. I got the peace that passes all understanding. It's in my heart. But sometimes our head acts as a trap or a plug that tries to keep the things in our heart from manifesting in our lives. It's time for us by force, if necessary, by demand, if necessary, telling ourselves that, wait a minute, I've got His peace. I've got His joy. I don't care what I'm going through here. It's mine in Jesus' name. You ready for one more? Romans chapter 16. You're going to like this one. Verse 20. We used to sing a song, and it was great. But it says, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Right. Because the God of peace has given me the authority to step on his head. Right. Come on. I've been put in a position because of the peace of God that I know that I didn't have before. Satan has to bow to my voice when I'm using that name. Glory to God. All right, back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 10 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I don't think that there's anybody in this room probably that's really suffered real persecution. We've had our feelings hurt. We've had people say things about us. But he was, again, preparing them for what was coming. See, because they were thrown to lions. They were cut in two. They were stoned to death. Persecution for righteousness' sake. In other words, standing for the gospel of righteousness, they were going to suffer persecution. I'm not prophesying this, but it sure seems to me the signs of the time. If we're going to stand for Jesus, more persecution is going to come. Where it might cost us something. Right? The good news. That's not bad news. That's good news. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you know those all those that are martyred in the book of Revelation for Jesus during the tribulation? It says that they're going to have a special place. Right. Glory to God. But watch this. And I want to get this straight. And we'll see it really clearly in a minute. It says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." It doesn't say you're persecuted because you're stupid. In other words, if you steal, you say, "Oh, I'm being persecuted. They called me a thief." No, you're a thief because you're a thief. Right. Well, they just don't understand. They think I'm obnoxious. Well, I'm just standing for Jesus. No, hush up. You're obnoxious. This is going over great. Listen, what I'm saying is if you're operating in the flesh and calling that Jesus, and you get persecuted for it, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about when you stand up for the love of God and you proclaim the message, and the message is hated. Right? Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, and this will explain it better than I am. 1 Peter chapter 3. Okay. Come apart there. Okay. Chapter 3. And let's look at verse 13. "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you're blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats nor troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, for the just, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but be made alive by the Spirit. By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through the water. There is an antitype net which now saves us, the baptism, not the removal of filth of flesh, but the answer of the good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come on, here's what I'm saying. If we're doing good and it brings persecution, and watch, it's getting in our country to where if you preach the gospel, if you say Jesus is the only way, if you preach he's the way, the truth, and the life, and there no man can come to the Father but by him, is that what the Bible says? But if you preach that, you might have family members that go, you hip, you know, I mean, they might say all kinds of evil things against you. And they might at some point say, oh, you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Yes. Do you believe that it's the inherent Word of God? Yes. Well, then it's a hate book. It's a book full of hate. And it's time for us to stand up and say, sorry, but I'm standing on the Word of God. If that makes you run from me, I don't want that. But this is what I'm standing on. Because this, watch this, this is right. This is right. And so I'm willing, don't want to, I'm willing for you not to be my friend anymore. Because I stand for this. I'm willing to go to jail, right? If they came in and said, listen, you can't preach every word in this. We're going to show you which words you can preach and which words you can read and which words you can't. Lock me up. Lock me up because I refuse to call what's evil good and what's good evil. See, and if they come for that reason, I'm blessed. But if I come preaching something that is white supremacy, some other things that are evil, right? Then that's a whole different story. That's not the persecution that he's talking about. You understand what I'm saying is that God is going to be with us even in persecution. Real quick, go back to Matthew chapter 5. Hallelujah. Here is the bottom line I'm so excited about. I'm so excited that God is with me. Let me say that again. I'm so excited that God is with me. I'm so excited that God is with me. And I'm so excited that He doesn't give up on me. I'm so excited that when I make a mistake, He's there to pick me up, not to throw me away. I'm so excited the fact that God is with me. And I don't want to lose that for anything or anybody. Verse 10. Oh, we already read that. Verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. If it's true, deal with it. Right? But if it's false, give it to Him. Right? If it's true, if they're calling you mean and you are mean, stop it. Hello? If they're calling you a liar and you've been lying, just own it. But if they're coming and saying that that's a lie when you're speaking the truth, own that too. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. And then it says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Come on, you're the salt of the earth. You and I are the salt of the earth, and persecution may be coming, but don't be afraid of persecution. Put in your heart that I've got the good news that Jesus is Lord and that He's paid the price. The enemy is going to come at us to try to keep us either shut up, right? Our mouths closed, or if we open our mouths at some point, He'll want to lock us up. But in either case, we can continue to proclaim the good news because we are not of this earth. We are heavenly citizens in Christ Jesus. Amen? There's good news. God is for you. There's good news this morning. God is with you. There's even better news. God is in you. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. Everything that you need, He's already done. He's already healed you. He's already given you wisdom. He's already given you peace. He's already given you everything that you need. Ah. Oh Lord, we just pray. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, I pray that you would receive a spirit of revelation, wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him. I've been praying that again over myself and just, Lord, I just want to see You in me and see me in You, because that makes all the difference in the world. I know it's true, Lord, but sometimes I don't see it. And I'm not talking about feeling, Lord. I just imagine the fact that I open my mouth and You fill it. I just imagine that the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of me and Your power is with me. And when I proclaim Your gospel, Father, You back it up with signs and wonders. I just thank You, Lord, for being here with us today. Father, we come before You, and everybody that's listening to this message, Lord, I ask You to just touch them in Jesus' name. If they're watching online, God, we thank You for that. I thank You that the same anointing that's in this room is in them, and Father, You're touching them to do a work on the inside of them. And Lord, we just pray over everybody that's in this room, that if we backed off, if we backed away in any form, we're coming back to You right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we just proclaim that whatever we have need of, You've already provided. So if they come after us with persecution and they want us to deny You, we make a declaration right now in the sand that will not bow our knee to anyone except Jesus. Lord, we just love You this morning. We praise You this morning. We give You all the glory this morning. Father, I ask You to touch everybody that's here this morning. If you're here this morning, and just bow your head before the Lord right now. And maybe you've kind of backed off of Jesus. Maybe you just backed away a little bit and your heart isn't all in like maybe it was at one point. And you just say to yourself, I just want to fully commit myself to Jesus again. I want to just kindle that first love one more time. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand? I see that hand. Anybody else? Come on, I see that hand. Anybody else? Come on, I just want more. I see that hand. Anybody else? I just want more. Yes, I see that hand. Absolutely. I see both of those hands. Also, I see that hand. Come on. All of us, it's like, Lord, if we backed away, if we backed off, if we backed down, if we've done any of those things, Lord, that have taken us away from being who you want us to be on this earth, Lord, we ask you this morning, Father, to forgive us, Father, but we want to just declare to you this morning that we're all in. 100%. All in. So I want us all to just, if you just repeat this after me, and again, it doesn't do you any good unless you really believe it in your heart, but I want to lead you in a prayer. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you, and I just confess that I've let worldly things, I've let my emotions, I've let hurt keep me away from you. This morning, I give you my heart again. 100%. I'm going to cast all of my cares upon you. I refuse to be one of those who is a victim when you've made me victorious. I just give my heart to you. I give my life to you. I ask you to use me to be one of your peacemakers. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. If I could have the worship team come up. Again, we're going to close with worship. I just, while they're doing that, if you need prayer for anything, come on up. The anointing is here. I'm telling you that God is here to heal, to save, to deliver, to baptize in the Holy Ghost. And now watch this. There's a couple other things. Just a housekeeping thing. We're not going to put things in the room this morning. We're going to put them outside to empty the storeroom. And Donnie will help orchestrate that. But come on, let's just worship him. If you have a prayer need, I'm here to pray with you. Yeah. What? Yeah.
The Lord has been, I don't know, taking our family through a season for quite a while. Most of you know we've been with the church since 96 and love the Lord. Billy and I love the Lord with everything in us. And we've had our tough times, we've had our happy times, our high times, our low times, our obedient times, our disobedient times. And I just thank the Lord that He's always been with us and that He brought us to this place and this family to walk this walk with us, to lead us, to love us, to hold us, to take care of us, to get upset with us, frustrated with us, because we have a big family and we've been a little stubborn and rotten at times. And I've struggled ever since day one. I know Lila is a big one that has prayed with me, over me, for me. Renita, of trying to help fix my children, help fix others, want to save, want to rescue. And this is one of the things the Lord has been working on me for the last few years. And as Billy and I have been going through the things and our health has been hit really hard, the Lord keeps reminding us, just stay focused, stay focused, stay focused. Even when we just get like, oh, that's it. I don't know how to do it anymore. And then I'll go to Lila or Renita or Marcy or someone, and they're like, lay your kids down, because that's one of my biggest things. I want to fix. I want to rescue. And so Billy and I have been praying and stuff, and the other day we were watching a movie. And in all of a sudden, the scripture popped up on the screen. And Billy's like, pause it, pause it. I didn't know why he was saying pause it, because in my heart I was like, pause it, pause it. Because there was something there that it's like the Lord was speaking. Well, in the middle of the night, we had forgot to turn our bathroom counter from August to September. And he was up, so at 4 o'clock in the morning, he turned the calendar to September. And there was a scripture on the calendar. So that's why he was saying pause it. The day before, the Lord had led me to a scripture. And that's why I was saying, pause it. So I took my phone. We live in a fifth wheel. So we don't have a lot of room. The TV kind of faces towards where Billy and I sit. Our kitchen counter's over here, way to the right. And I took my phone and I took a picture of the scripture. It says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. Yes, in the morning, yes, I lay my request before you.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
I wait in expectation.
Thank you, Lord.
Psalms 5:3.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord had been telling both of us this. For our own, you know, our own stuff, our own reasons, what we need to do. In the morning, we had been talking about, a lot of times I wake up between 3 and 5 and I pray and then I'll fall back asleep. And the Lord's been doing this with him as well. In the morning,
yeah. We
need to lay our requests before him. So, big, huge God wink, hello, both of us. You know, we need to be praying, continuing in the morning, and God's been calling us to pray together, which we have not been doing. And so I took this picture. I went to Charles this morning, and he graciously put the picture up here for me. The TV faces where Billy and I sit on the left side of the trailer. I took the picture of the scripture, and in the bottom, there you can see there's a cross. And there's some rocks. Those little humps are rocks. Above my kitchen sink, I have a window. And I have rocks in my little windowsill. And in the middle of my window is a cross. There's no way we can figure out how. When I took that picture, it got something way back over here, totally on the other side with stuff blocking, and didn't get any of the junk on my counter or my dirty dishes in the sink. But it got the cross, and it got the rocks, which represent God, the cross. That's who we are to be calling on. That's who's going to fix us.
Yeah.
That's who's going to rescue
Come
us.
On.
That's who's going to rescue
Come
our
on.
Children. That's who's going to rescue those that are out there judging what we're doing in here. He's the one that's going to do it all.
Amen.
But as we have just went through in this last few days with a real big touch from God, we have to submit and say, okay, not my will, but your will be done. And as I've been saying a lot lately, let go and let God.
Amen.
Let go and let God. Let go and let God. Zip my mouth, do what I'm supposed to do for God, and walk.
Amen. Thank you. Awesome. Hallelujah. Again, if you need prayer, come on up.